Here's an old saying worth considering. As the health of the trucking industry goes, so goes the health of the American economy. Well, trucking and the economy are both seeing high times right now. But what are the chances all this activity could suddenly hit a wall? Coming up, a talk with an expert on both trucking and the economy, where they're heading and what it means for you. Welcome to Eyes on the Road, presented by Help Incorporated's PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services, along with trucking safety technology. I'm Evan Lockridge, and thanks for joining me. If you were to take a look at many of the number of reports that are out about the health of the economy, you'll quickly see that conditions are some of the most favorable they've been in quite a long time. The same can easily be said about the economic health of trucking. But there are also pundits who point out this current economic recovery is getting long in the tooth and could soon be over, and that would drag down trucking. Joining me by phone is someone who is challenging such notions. Donald Broughton is a longtime economist and market strategist with the investment advisory firm for institutional investors in St. Louis, Broughton Capital, which focuses on trucking. Donald, it's good to have you here. First question. Recently released numbers show the U.S. gross domestic product, which is the widest measure of the health of the economy, grew at an annual rate of a little more than 4% in the second quarter of the year, its best showing in nearly 4 years, and the third best since the end of the Great Recession nearly 10 years ago. But in speeches you've been making lately, Donald, including in mid-August to the Board of Help Incorporated, the provider of PrePass, you said that government number is understated. Why do you believe this, and what does this mean from a freight transportation point of view?
The reason it's understated is very simple. We use a Keynesian model. John Maynard Keynes was an economist who was very active in the early part of the 20th century, passed away in 1946. He developed the methodology by which we use to calculate GDP. In his day, it was cutting edge, but so many things that were cutting edge 100 years ago have become antiquated, including the way we calculate many economic indicators. Under the Keynesian model, all imports are considered a negative to GDP, and all exports are considered a positive to GDP. All increases in the inventories are considered a positive to GDP because there's more value stored up in the economy. And all decreases in inventory are considered a negative to the GDP because there's a decrease in the stored up value in the economy. Well, that may have been okay 100 years ago, but the modern economy, especially if you look at it from a transportation point of view, decreases in the inventories are good. It means that we're that much closer to every unit of consumption, resulting in a draw through the entire supply chain. We don't want bloated inventories. We want lean inventories. The economy was so strong in the second quarter that inventories were drawn down so much that they were a full 1 percentage point negative to the calculation of GDP. So if inventories had stayed steady throughout the second quarter, the GDP number, instead of being 4.1%, would have been 5.1%. And when I talk to transportation audiences and I say, did it feel like a 5% GDP quarter? They all nod their heads like, yep, that's exactly what it felt like. And the reason is because of the calculation methodology may have been appropriate, as I said, 100 years ago, but today it's antiquated. And the current times are a great example of why.
Depending on which yardstick you use, there are numerous reports that show trucking activity, such as shipments and expenditures, are at or near all-time highs, meaning both trucking and the economy are performing quite well. Do you see this continuing well into 2019, Donald? And what do you base this on?
I do. I love freight flows. I love looking at freight flows to both gauge what's happening currently in the economy and what's going to happen in the economy. Gosh, almost 15 years ago when I was at A.G. Edwards, I was on the investment strategy committee, the firm-wide investment strategy committee. It was our responsibility to advise clients on asset allocation, decide how the firm itself was going to invest its capital. And starting really in 06, March, April of 06, as truck tonnage started to struggle a little bit, I began to become more bearish. And by the end of 06, was definitely the most bearish person on the committee. I do look at many other things, but I start with freight and I come all the way back to freight because it works. Because it's not sentiment, it's not feelings, it's raw tons being shipped and consumed. the bottom line is truck tonnage has predicted every single recession and every single recovery over the last 50 plus years. If you want to know how many houses are going to be built, what housing starts are going to be, it's very simple. Go look at lumber shipments. Why? Because somebody has to cut down a tree and ship it to a sawmill. They have to cut it up into 2x4s and 2x6s and 2x8s and 2x10s, and they have to dry them in a kiln, and then they have to ship them to the local lumber yard long before it gets taken out to the job site and turned into an actual housing start. If you want to know what the industrial production in the United States is going to be, look at the chemical shipments. Why? Because it's virtually impossible to make or assemble anything of any great magnitude without consuming chemicals. And so when chemical shipments in the United States go up, so does industrial production. When chemical shipments go down, so does domestic industrial production. It's just that simple. And you can go through item after item after item in the freight flow, and you can see not only the general large overall reaching economic trends, but it's very specific company and very specific industry trends.
But sooner or later, this current economic expansion has to end, and then we have a recession, right? Economists in general say we're in one of the longest economic recoveries since World War II. So doesn't that mean at least some sort of economic pullback is on the horizon?
Respectfully, I disagree. We are in the beginning of the economic cycle. Let's stop and look at the economic cycle for just a moment. The 2009 through 2014 period, led by fracking, was the first industrial-led recovery we've seen in the United States since 1961. And one of the reasons it's confused so many people is that most of us, damn near all of us, were not alive and out there in the professional workforce in 1961. So we don't want to know what an industrial-led recovery looks like. The recoveries post-1961 were consumer-led. So the 09 through 14 period, because of fracking and what technology we created here in the United States, led to the building of 8 new refineries, the building of 22 polyresin plastic refineries. It led to just a host of industrial activity. Now, when oil fell back under $40 a barrel, as it did in late 14, it led to a industrial recession in 2015 and really the first 9 months of 2016 until oil got back up above 50 bucks a barrel and then stayed and accelerated from there. There really wasn't a consumer recovery. 09 through 16, it was a slow growth, really no growth in the consumer economy. And the consumer didn't really begin to spend until 2017. And so we're still 18 months into that recovery. And there's been a host of reasons people have pointed out. I would point namely at demographics. Baby boomers, for the most part, have everything they need. Millennials have been blamed for years that, well, they're never going to move out of mom and dad's basement. And that's just not true. They are beginning to form households in earnest, really, just in the last 18 months. And the reason for that is very simple. I got married later in life than my parents got married, who got married later in life than my grandparents got married. And lo and behold, the millennials are getting married later than their parents. Why? Because we have longer life expectancies and we have, in general, higher rates of education. And it's true across the globe. The longer the life expectancies in any given economy and the higher the rates of education, the more we delay getting married. And I mean nothing misogynistic by this, but nothing drives consumer spending like getting a missus. When I was a bachelor, a mattress in the corner of the room on the floor was just fine. But you get married and suddenly that just won't do. And is it a more comfortable way of living? Absolutely. But it involves spending a lot of money on drapes and beddings and things that you would, as a bachelor, never probably spend money on. And that net result is that millennials have gotten to the age where they are forming households. They are getting married. They are moving out of the mom and dad's basement. And as they do, as they've gotten to that age, consumer spending is accelerating nicely. Now, is part of that generated because they're beginning to get into the part of their career in which they're starting to make some decent money? Partially. Is it partially driven because their grandparents, the baby boomers, have seen their stock accounts reflate and they now feel like they're in a position to help their grandchildren making that first down payment on that first house? Partially. All those things are factors, but the bottom line is the consumer didn't start spending really until 2017. So we're really in the first 18 months of the consumer recovery. And the third part of the economy, the technology economy, where the dominant force in both hardware and software globally continue to be. Those economies are not only booming, but they're meteoric. So bottom line is we're early in this cycle, if you really dissect this cycle and take it into context.
Okay, so you're extremely bullish on the economy and trucking because of technology, consumer spending, industrial activity, and the maturation of millennials. But nothing, Donald, is guaranteed, and we don't live in a perfect world. What could be the things we need to look for that could derail trucking and the economy?
A recession in a clinical sense is the cleaning up of excess. And so you have to have excess, and the greater the excess, the greater the recession, the greater the cleanup that has to be done. My fear about recession coming and imminent and being severe is when I'm looking at excess, when I'm looking at behavior and prices that just are completely out of whack with the underlying economic value of the asset or whatever it is that's being sold. And I don't see that in a whole lot of places. So if we were going to have a recession, which is always possible, recessions can be created by momentary panic over a host of things. The terrorist attack in 2001 created a bit of a double dip as we were already emerging from the 2000 recession. And those are the kinds of things that you can't predict. However, there aren't a whole lot of excesses. That's one. Two, trade tariffs worry me. Indeed, if you go back and you look at the 1929 recession, it was a recession. It got turned into the Great Depression because of the Smoot-Hawley tariffs that set off a trade war that turned what was the largest exporting economy in the world, the United States, into a black hole. That's the real risk with what's happening, what Trump is doing. Now, if he's negotiating and he's trying to get better terms and he's trying to embolden world trade and produce a more level playing field for businesses throughout the world, and that's indeed what he ends up effectuating, we're fine. Bully for him. But if he starts a real trade war, which riskier, then we have a severe problem because trade wars can be highly economically, not only divisive, but really tear asunder the economy. That's my biggest concern.
Let's look at the economic prosperity from another angle. There's little doubt trucking companies now have more money to spend on safety products and services, such as PrePass and others, which can make them a more efficient trucking operation. But Donald, does this automatically mean trucking companies will spend more money in these good economic times, especially when they're seeing increased profits?
Current strong economic times provide the opportunity for the smartest, for the wisest trucking companies to spend more money on safety, to spend more money on becoming more efficient. It doesn't mean they all will. Some of them will waste the money, squander it. Some of them will grow beyond their ability to manage. Some of them will do silly things. That's what happens. But the smart ones will spend it on safety. The smart ones will invest in ways to be more efficient because that will allow them to, in the short term, maximize profitability, but in the longer term, it will allow them to navigate through the cycle. So when things turn south, which they inevitably will, they'll be more efficient and they'll be safer, and which means they won't have the cost of those accidents. They won't have the cost of that inefficiency, that lost productivity. And so they'll be able to, when things are thinner, stay, even if it's only a small amount profitable, they'll be able to remain profitable when their competitors who did not invest in those technologies will go unprofitable. And that provides them opportunity to gain market share, stay in business when their competitors don't.
We've talked about several different areas when it comes to the economy and its effect on the trucking industry. What's the bottom line here, Donald, for the average trucking company, as well as the average driver, including owner-operator?
Technology is ever more productive and allows the driver, the smallest trucking companies out there, to operate more efficiently than the most efficient trucking company did 20, 30 years ago. The visibility of loads, the visibility of rates, the visibility of fuel prices, tolls, you name it, are available through a handheld device. Things that would have been seen as groundbreaking, cutting edge, even 20 years ago, are now almost taken for granted. And as a result, technology has leveled the playing field between the largest and the smallest trucking companies and given opportunity for those who, no matter what their size, are willing to focus on being efficient and being safe.
That is Donald Broughton, a longtime economist and market strategist with the investment advisory firm for institutional investors in St. Louis, Broughton Capital. Donald, thanks for your insight.
My pleasure.
And you can learn more about Donald Broughton's insights into the economy and trucking by going to the PrePass blog at prepass.com and look for the recent story where he discussed key economic and trucking indicators. Once again, that's at prepass.com. Also, don't forget you can keep up with PrePass on social media by logging on to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Plus, you can hear previous installments of this podcast or subscribe to it by going to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Player FM. Just search using the term PrePass. I'm Evan Lockridge, and thanks for listening. And be sure to keep your eyes on the road.